Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a partial disaster over here with Joe Rex Road to no fault of his own. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm getting it together. I got to, you know, get together for Pat Narduzzi. We have last year, Pat Narduzzi, we were just talking about this before the show in our four-hour pre-show meeting.
Yeah.
He was right off the top. He was like 6:01 a.m., Narduzzi. This year, we've got him pushed back to 6:12 a.m.
That's right.
So, I don't know. Specific. Is that bad for Pittsburgh football? Like, are they a little bit behind this year? Is he slacking a little bit as a coach? These are the questions we have for him.
These are the questions that will be asked coming up at 6:12 when Pat Narduzzi, head coach at Pittsburgh, joins the show. So, looking forward to that. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. Quick shout out. My sister's first day of senior year today. Shout out Bella.
Nice.
Senior year. And Christina's was yesterday, so.
Wow.
11th and 12th grade.
Big day. Big time.
Wait. Hold on. So Bella's first day of senior year is today.
Yes.
Christina's first day of junior year was yesterday?
Yeah, they do like this block scheduling. So it's like.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't even know.
You know what else? So the seniors get to hold off another day.
Heck yeah, they do. They're seniors.
So senior skip day is like the first day.
First day of school.
First day.
That's great.
Go Bella.
It's also amazing that yesterday was their first day and. People around here have been in school for like a month.
Yeah, it's wild. It's almost wild.
It's almost fall break time. Yeah, around here. Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. Joe, I'm glad you found a pair of headphones to be able to do the show today. We need to put up we're going to take it to the airwaves. We need to put up a sign around here. Like, stop touching the good headphones. It's not that hard.
So, who sits here, like when Jared and Caroline do the show here? So, Jared opts for one ear. Is it because he can't stand to hear himself talk with both ears?
He brings his own headphones.
Yeah, I don't know what goes on.
I mean, I got to understand how people are like, no, give me those headphones that only have one ear.
Could be Willie.
What?
Could be.
Maybe it is Willie. That crafty Willie Donick.
We'll see what happens. But those are the two people that sit in your chair for sure. So I don't know what's going on over there.
Weird, man.
It is very strange. We'll get to Pat Narduzzi coming up at 6:12. So here in about 9 minutes or so. On the program. It is a very intriguing matchup coming up on Saturday between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. We got to get got a lot to get to on that front today. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, joining us at 7:30. Paul Kuharski at 8 o'clock as well. So looking forward to that. So let's start on the Vols and Pittsburgh. What sort of challenges do you think this Pittsburgh offense will create for Tennessee? I know, you know, Tennessee, they gave up 10 points against Ball State. You look at the box score and you're like, okay, pretty good performance defensively. I think it was a little bit more deceiving than that. Ball State moved the ball, I thought, pretty well. I think Pittsburgh, obviously, is a huge step up in competition from Ball State. So with all that being said, as you look at this Tennessee defense, what sort of challenges do you think they have ahead of them coming up on Saturday against Pittsburgh?
Well, one of my big questions about this game is, can Pittsburgh run the ball, you know? I think, you know, Slovis had his ups and downs, but he's obviously a talented quarterback. You could see that in the opener, and he got it going eventually in that game. And, you know, they were in some trouble. He had some really good moments. They've got good receivers. They got some receivers who did damage in Knoxville last year. But can they run the football on Tennessee? That to me is one of the big questions about this game. Because look, if you're Pittsburgh in this game, you're going to be aggressive on D. You're going to do what you do. I mean, I think Narduzzi talked this week earlier about, you know, being able to see these guys last year. I mean, the Vols have talked about this. Their coaches have talked about this. The teams that have seen us now that have players returning from that, so they've all experienced this. And Narduzzi, of course, looks at this like his fourth meeting because he saw UCF twice with Heupel as coach too. He's just better equipped to deal with it. But still, the best defense for Pittsburgh is to have the football, right? I mean, the best defense for Pittsburgh is to have long drives and run the ball and have third and three all day. And very interested with Tennessee. Again, I'll go back to the middle of that defense. You know, I'm a believer in the, you know, how strong are you up the middle? What is that? I think that says a lot about a defense in football. Strong up the middle in baseball, also important.
It is.
Strong up the middle in hockey, I guess. You know, you
down the middle.
Look at it that way.
At center, yeah.
Yeah, centerman. Goalie, does the goalie count? But in football, sure. You know, that I like the Vol safeties. I like Jeremy Banks. Jeremy Banks is a guy, you know, big figure in this game. But Aaron Beasley, the defensive tackles that we've talked about a lot, big deal for them, big test for them.
I will say it has been very entertaining this week to watch Narduzzi play the underdog role, no, which I don't blame him because he has absolutely done it. We talked about the line that it's moving heavily in terms of Tennessee, I would assume Tennessee fans, but I guess the general public as well, betting on him. Here's what he said earlier this week, quote, "There's only really two Power 5 conferences in the country, the SEC and the Big Ten. So we're in the Pee Wee League, and we're going to line up, see if we can play." End quote from Pat Narduzzi.
Oh, yes. Lay it on thick, Pat. He's loving it. Yeah, he got asked the other day at his presser, too, you know, a couple times about being underdog. He's like, "I didn't even know. Thanks for telling me that. But I will definitely share it with my team."
Yes. You know?
Yeah, so he's loving that.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Again, we talked about this yesterday. I think more caution yesterday on Vol Twitter of like, okay, hold on. It's a pretty big game coming up on Saturday. But prior to that, I get it. There's excitement about Tennessee. They've scored 45 points or more four games where I get it. So I totally understand where it's coming from. But as we said yesterday, if you're just going ahead and chalking this one up as a W, which if you're a Tennessee fan, honestly, with how these games have gone the last 15 years, I don't really know how you could be doing that. But if you are, just pump the brakes. I think we're in for a good one. A doozy coming up on Saturday.
Oh, a doozy. Look at there. You. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm on my A game this morning.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Let me just tell you.
Wow, that is. I don't, you know, that's pretty good. I don't know that I've seen anyone use like something as a doozy in relation to Pat Narduzzi.
That's why you listen to this program.
Golly, that's very good. Yeah, look, Tennessee fans, yeah. And we're going to be, I guess, pumping the brakes all the way till Saturday on this idea. I mean, I think Tennessee's better, and I think it would be disappointing if Tennessee lost this game. But also, I won't be shocked at all if that's the case. And this is a big building block, you know, to get to bigger games. I mean, SEC games, you know, matter more and all that stuff. But this one, I think, is – look, it's the first time Josh Heupel's been ranked, first time Tennessee's been ranked since, you know, since early in that wonderful 2020 season under Jeremy Pruitt. And so you win this, and then you start looking at some big matchups. But you lose it, and it's back to, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, it doesn't end the season or anything like that. But it's a big. Well, I don't want to say a big step back, but it would be a painful loss, and it's very possible that team has a lot of good football players.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Pittsburgh head coach Pat Narduzzi, looking ahead to the matchup against Tennessee. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is opening week of some NFL football this week, and Joe begins tomorrow. The Bills and the Rams, nice season opening game on Thursday night. Looking forward to that. It'll be a pretty good one. There is a streak out there that I guess I was unaware of until I saw this yesterday, but the Indianapolis Colts have the longest streak in the NFL, and it's not a good one, Joe. They have lost 8 consecutive Week 1 games. 8 in a row, the longest streak in the NFL of season-opening losses. They have not won their season-opening game since 2013 against the Oakland Raiders. And Andrew Luck threw a touchdown pass to Reggie Wayne in the game, if that tells you how long ago that was. So
was he a rookie?
I think he may have been a rookie that year, yeah. Maybe in second year, maybe? I have to go back and look.
Either way, that's nuts.
So 8 consecutive games I mean, they got beat by Seattle last year. They got crushed by Jacksonville a couple of years ago when we thought Gardner Minshew was going to be the guy down there in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy.
They had an overtime loss to the Chargers in 2019. They got destroyed by the Rams in 2017. I mean, it's been a while. They even lost to the Lions in 2016.
Good Lord.
8 consecutive years. Now, they play Davis Mills and the Houston Texans coming up on Sunday to begin their season. So, you would think that the opportunity is there and is prime for the Colts to end this streak. But I will say, we thought that about Jacksonville a couple years ago when Phillip Rivers was QB, and Jacksonville handled them pretty well. I'm interested to see, you know, obviously I'll be watching the Titans game this weekend, but I will say I am very interested to see how sharp that Colts offense looks to begin the season against Houston.
Yeah, that's such a weird streak. It's almost like it's almost like the Ravens
preseason
record, which no one could possibly really give a rip about. It's different because obviously the Colts, I'm sure, are hearing about it this week and are sick of it. But that spans different coaching staffs, different quarterbacks, different levels of opponent. It's just weird. It's just random, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe there's something to do with, maybe it's Ursay's fault. You know, he collects too many vintage guitars. Well, I mean, I don't know.
But we've talked about them, you know, not winning the division since 2014. Well, yeah. This is part of it. I mean, digging yourself in a hole to begin the season, at some point, that's got to stop if you're Indianapolis.
Well, just take away the loss to Jacksonville. I mean, no doubt, like, especially if you lose a division game. So, I don't know, Davis Mills, Damian Pierce, the new running back, Brandon Cooks, pretty good player.
Well, it's interesting to look at this, too, because the Indy Star put this out, and this is a big talking point up in Indy, apparently. But they put out not only their season opening losses, but also, like, the record, what their record ended up being of teams they lost to. Like, Seattle last year was 7-10. The 2020 Jacksonville team was 1-15. That was the game that they won.
My God,
2019,
that's right.
The Chargers were 5-11. 2018, the Bengals were 6-10. Like, they've not lost to a good team on opening day since 2017. All these teams have been trash that they've lost to begin the season.
That's weird. It's like you beat them and then, somehow it's like the highlight of your season. Did they have the Lions record in 2016?
Yeah, they were 9-7.
Oh, my goodness.
Winning team.
Couldn't beat Mariota, though.
They couldn't.
Couldn't beat Mariota and Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson slammed the door on him, man.
That's right. It's very weird. Very weird. Maybe they'd prefer to play like a good team this week.
Maybe.
Not a team that they're clear favorites against.
I don't know.
You know?
Well, look, they're intriguing to me. I mean, we've talked about their receiving core. You know, Michael Pittman I feel good about. Other than that, I'm really interested to see how it works. I mean, it's preseason. I know people weren't overly blown away from Matt Ryan and that offense when they got in there in the preseason, but it is a different thing jumping to the regular season now. Number one, how much do they use Jonathan Taylor? Because we talked to Bob Kravitz a few weeks ago, and he seems to think they're going to try to use him less in the running game this year, which is interesting to me. But I'm interested to see offensively what they look like. I mean, defensively, I think the Colts are going to be pretty good, and I think they should play well in this game against Houston. But I am very – of the storylines in week one throughout the league, it's not the top storyline to me, but it's up there for me in terms of the Colts – because of where we are and how important that team is to what we talk about here. I'm very interested to see how Matt Ryan looks coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, me too. I noticed on Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt is such a Titan slappy, isn't he?
Oh, he loves him some Titans.
But he was the one, everybody there picked the Colts, and he had his diatribe of why, you know, he's picking the Titans. Look, I feel – if there's something that I feel good betting on, I favor the Colts, okay? I know we haven't made our picks yet. Maybe I'll change my mind before we make our picks. But if there's one thing I feel really good about, it's that they will be separated by a game. One way or the other, there will not be more than a game separation between these teams. So, I mean, it starts in week one. And, you know, you get one or two wild upset losses that could swing things. Of course, with the Titans, you have multiple examples of that every year, paired with multiple examples of your own upsets that invalidate them. But maybe that doesn't happen this year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John on the text line says, the Browns haven't won a home opener since 2004, which is equally awful. That is pretty amazing. Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, Titans more likely to lose week one than the Colts, in my opinion, just because we have more question marks and a slightly better opponent. That's coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
I will say, you know, Thibodeau, we're going to see injury reports today. You know, Thibodeau and Ojulari, the two young, really good pass rushers. I mean, we'll see if Thibodeau's very good, but I think he's going to be good. And Ojulari, nice player. 8 sacks last year as a rookie out of Georgia. Both those guys are question marks. If those guys both don't play, I don't know that I would agree on that's a better opponent. I mean, I don't know, man. They still have more skill on offense than the Texans, but that defense is so much built on that front.
It's going to be interesting to see the injury report today for both sides, Titans and Giants. The Giants have had some big injury problems during camp. Ojulari, he might play. We'll see about Thibodeau. I mean, it's hard for me to believe, based on the original timeline, that he'd be in there. But
yeah,
you never know. Some guys heal a little bit faster, so we'll see what happens on that front. So I guess I'm more interested in the Giants injury report today than I am the Titans injury report, but the Elijah Molden designation will be interesting.
Yeah, and just to see if Autry's on there at all. I'm sure he's going to be listed at least. You know, but obviously if you're a Titans fan, you hope to see wrist, hand, whatever it is, probable, and move forward, and he's going to play. Austin from Clarksville asks, outside of Tannehill and Henry, most important player Sunday. What's your first instinct, like taking a Scantron test?
So he's asking on offense and defense. Offensively, I'm going Taylor Lewan. Because I think it's very important.
Here he is again, everybody.
Well, but that aside, like, it's going to be very difficult for him to be anywhere near as bad as he was in the season opener last year. But I think it's important that he plays well and is close to vintage Taylor Lewan, from the standpoint of there are so many other question marks with that offense right now. You don't need to add left tackle to the list. Like, you need left tackle to be something where if you're Vrabel, if you're Todd Downing, you feel good about saying, all right, Taylor's got that left side. And, you know, maybe you give him help every now and then, but most of the time we feel good about Taylor one-on-one, singled up, you got the left side. Like, if that's not the case, then I could see a scenario where this offensive line could be pretty bad. So I'm going Taylor Lewan offensively.
It's a good one. My first instinct is Robert Woods. He's got to be
– thought about that.
He's got to be wide receiver one. He's got to be clear wide receiver one from the start and all year, to me. You know, Burks, you want to become a big factor, and I think we'll see him for sure. But Robert Woods being that guy, having that connection with Tannehill from the start.
Well, and then defensively, to me, it's clearly Bud Dupree. I think it's clearly Bud Dupree, especially with Landry gone now. Like, you need Bud Dupree to be a force over there. So Dupree would be my answer defensively.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, Weaver's really fascinating too, and I would look at Autry. As before, even take Landry's injury out of it. I've been saying and believing, you know, Autry 2021 version needs to happen in 2022. Now it really needs to happen. So I think all three of those guys all sort of collectively trying to make up for Landry. But either way, with Dupree too, with Landry, without Landry, this is a big year for him.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Which Titans newcomer will make the biggest impact this season? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Pat Narduzzi for joining us in the last segment. Going to be a good one coming up on Saturday between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. And as you mentioned, Joe, Tennessee in the top 25. The AP rankings coming out yesterday. Pittsburgh at 17, remaining at 17. Tennessee at number 24. So moving up into the top 25 yesterday. How about it?
I like it. Ranked matchup, the Johnny Majors Classic.
That's
which
right.
Is awesome for those who don't know. Johnny Majors won it all at Pitt in the late 70s and, of course, was a great coach at Tennessee after being a great player at Tennessee. So the late Johnny Major's honored, and this is on the slate of games this week, which actually is kind of underwhelming. So, I mean, that makes it, I guess, higher in the list. I mean, this is where is this on the, like, just the general college football fan out there? Honestly, like, I could make the case that the two best games involve little cats.
I know.
Well, I agree. Like, everybody's going to hype up Alabama, Texas, and I'm just here to tell you.
Oh, don't.
I'm just here to tell you. It's not going to go well
for
Texas.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it. I mean, I like the fake mullets and stuff that people are wearing for the Quinn Ewers kid.
But, yeah.
Dude, it's going to be ugly. Ugly.
It's going to be ugly. So, I think the two best games of the week are Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Kentucky, Florida. Like, I'm looking through the rest of the matchups right now. There's not much.
Yeah, it's very underwhelming. You got another ranked matchup late night, Baylor, BYU.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, that's a nice late night offering. But, it's a pretty underwhelming. I tell you, Wake Forest, Vanderbilt, we're going to have Clark Leon later. That's one of the better games and more intriguing games.
It's intriguing.
I think, And we'll see if Vanderbilt can make it intriguing all day, but I'm intrigued. Just use the word intrigue a lot.
Well, they got some news yesterday. Sam Hartman going to be playing on Saturday at quarterback for Wake Forest, so we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But that's
significant.
That moved the line a little bit. We'll say that.
My goodness.
Looking into the Vanderbilt and Wake Forest game, so we'll get to that a little bit later in the program. Joe, it feels to me like, I've heard some Tennessee fans talk about Hendon Hooker and the Heisman, and I probably pump the brakes on that a little bit. I mean, I think there's a chance if they have a really good year, he can get into that conversation. But this is a game where I think he's going to be put to the test, and he's going to be put to the test from a variety of different fronts. Number one, if they have deep shots available, like they had ad nauseum in this game last year, can you connect on them? Can you make Pittsburgh's defense pay for that? I think that Pittsburgh is going to score some points offensively. I think you're going to have to get into the 30s, maybe the 40s in this game if you're Tennessee to win. Can Tennessee's offense respond to that? They've done well on that front the last few times they've been out there dating back to last year. But this is a big test for Hendon Hooker and from the standpoint of, all right, well, can you be at your A game? I thought he was good against Ball State. He did miss some throws. And this is a game where – you miss 2-3 throws, that can end up being the difference in a win and a loss. So this is the first, I think, pressure-packed situation for Hendon Hooker heading into this year. The first of what will probably be many.
Yeah, this is look, the Heisman stuff with him, at this point, you can talk about just about anyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I would say prerequisite is 10-2. But also, really, if you really want to get serious about that with him, he probably has to beat Alabama or Georgia and do Johnny football type stuff in one of those games. I mean, really.
Yeah.
But he will have numbers, he should have very good numbers. And if this team, again, is good and wins these big games and he's great, well, then you can start talking about it. You gotta start with this one. Again, this is, even though this game is not as big as like Tennessee, Florida coming up, Tennessee, LSU, which I expect to be a primetime game. I mean, that's just a game you don't get a lot, and I think there's going to be a lot of hype around that one. Like we just talked about, this game is going – a lot of voters are going to watch this game because there aren't a lot of great games on Saturday. This is a, this is a 3:30 ABC game. 3:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
I still think in those terms, 2:30 our time. But so this is definitely an opportunity for him to kind of make a little statement, and for Tennessee too as well. This is just a big game, and I think it's going to come down to like who has the ball last kind of game. Again, I think both defenses have good things to offer. I'm very interested to see that Pittsburgh D line, against Tennessee's run game, but I don't like either defense when it comes down to it in the matchup.
Well, I am interested to see, obviously Narduzzi is fully aware of Cedric Tillman and what he brings to the table. I mean, Cedric Tillman in that game last year, probably could have scored four touchdowns had the ball been delivered to him last year. So,
and by the way, he ended up with one catch for 20 yards.
I know.
Talk about not representative of how you play.
It's unbelievable. And he's wide open all day long in that game. But it's one of those things where, you know what Cedric Tillman brings to the table. I was impressed with what we saw from Brew McCoy last week, you know, having it be his first game, albeit against Ball State. Like, the size intrigues me with him. You know, Jalin Hyatt caught the touchdown pass. Other than that, he wasn't very involved in the game last week. Like, somebody, to me, other than Cedric Tillman, and you hope you know what you're going to get out of him, but somebody other than Tillman at wide receiver this week is going to have to step up, I think, in a big way for Tennessee. And I'm interested to see, number one, if anybody can do that, and number two, if so, who is it? Is it Jalin Hyatt? Is it Brew McCoy? Who is that guy at wide receiver?
Yeah, well, I think all three of those guys need to be involved. It's interesting that the best receiving output for a receiver last year was Callaway. Jimmy Callaway, yeah. 3 for 59. He had the 44-yard TD. So that's really, you know, the one big play. But I agree. And then you look at the running. So Tennessee, 33 rushes, 136. Not bad. 4.1 a carry, two touchdowns. But of those 136 yards, 103 of them were between Milton and Hooker. Of course, Milton had the 54-yarder that he got hurt on. That was the play that actually really knocked him out of the game. So 5 for 54 for him, 9 for 49 for Hooker. The tailbacks, Small and Wright, 19 rushes for 33 yards, less than 2 per carry.
It's not going to get it done.
So, but that's what Pittsburgh does. They are, I mean, I've talked about Narduzzi's defense before. I covered it for a long time. I mean, basically, like, it's like 9 in the box. Like, the way they play, again, it's like quarters is a base coverage. But, like, both safeties are aggressively coming downhill. He is adamant about, I'm not letting tailback run game beat me. So, beat me another way. Throw the fade and throw it perfectly and beat us. But you're not running the ball with the tailback on me. So, can Tennessee push that a little bit and get more out of it? He just said to us that they're working on the QB draw. Obviously, the QB run game is going to be big. This is one of those games, too, with Hooker. It's like, there are some really good football players on the other side. That is a hard-hitting, aggressive defense. How much do you want to put Hooker in harm's way in a game like this? I think to some extent you have to, probably.
Well, I think it's going to be necessary to move the ball and win the game. Like, he's just going to have to run. And, you know, he's got to be smart about it. I think the big thing with Hooker in this game is going to come down to, can you make the necessary throws when they're there? Because I think you'll have some throws that are there. I'm not saying Tennessee is going to be running wide open down the field to begin the game like they were last year. Maybe they will be. I don't know. But you got to hit the throws when they're there. There's one part of Tennessee that, quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing about, and it's, you know, everybody's been hyping up Princeton Fant all offseason as to what kind of year he's going to have. Princeton Fant has shown basically nothing receiving the ball throughout his career thus far. And until I see it, I'm not going to believe that Princeton Fant is all of a sudden going to become some magical big part of this offense. Sorry.
Well, not. I mean, he's not going to be Noah Fant. But it's interesting you bring that up. And Narduzzi brought it up too, because I brought up the tight end. He said, we're going to see their tight ends. So last year, Fant went 4 for 47. Jacob Warren, 5 for 55 and a touchdown. So other than Callaway, who had the 59 yards because of the one big play, the tight ends for Tennessee, 9 catches for, look at me doing math, 102 yards and a touchdown in that game. So clearly, Tennessee saw something against that defense that said, yeah, we got to throw to the tight ends in this game. So, and that's, I mean, some of that has worked against that defense before. Another thing that, man, this takes me way back when this was like, he got so mad about this, but the wheel route to the running back in one year in particular just killed that defense like 4 or 5 times. So maybe the wheel route could be something here too. But yeah, maybe we will see those guys get involved, the tight ends. If there's one thing from last year to this year that they need to have more of, you got to have some tailback success. And I do think Jabari Small right now is a player compared to a year ago. He was still kind of finding himself. I don't remember why Tyon Evans didn't play in that game. Was he not eligible yet?
Maybe? I think he was.
Or maybe he was hurt. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. But Jabari Small is a much better player now than he was last year. They got to at least get to me like 50, 60 yards out of him Saturday.
Well, and I'm interested to see too, you know, Jalin Wright, I thought, ran the ball well for the most part against Ball State. You know, Dylan Sampson, we saw some flashes, but it's clear like Jabari Small is their number one guy. They've got a certainly better than last year. They've got to be able to run the ball with the running backs, but I am interested to see, you know, what's when a game is as big as this one, what does your rotation at running back look like? Like, are you, is Jalen Wright getting a whole series, you know, every third series like it seemed like he did against Ball State, or are you just going pretty heavy with Jabari Small in this game?
Yeah, to me, Jalen Wright, short yardage, maybe, you know, but yeah, if you can get Jabari Small in a rhythm and actually get him going, I think you're playing that hand all day.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, get into the NFL, including a very interesting streak that the Colts are trying to snap coming up on Sunday against Houston. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to a big matchup on Saturday between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Pittsburgh head football coach Pat Narduzzi. Pat, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be on, and and looking forward to this weekend's matchup, that's for sure.
Well, we're looking forward to it as well. Pat, I got to say, I know you've moved on to Tennessee, but just for us, those of us that watched the game last week against West Virginia, the environment at Pittsburgh just looked like so much fun. What was it like to be a part of that?
It was a great time. I mean, you know, our Pitt fans have been outstanding. They've gotten better every year I've been here. Wasn't quite like that back in 2015 when I left Michigan State with you, Joe. You know, it's gotten better. They've gotten into it, and you know, our athletic director's done a great job, and it's a tribute to our fans.
Well, Pat, great to have you on. You know, I know you're not going to be playing Tennessee, but I'd like to just schedule you every year, like before one game, okay? Moving forward, so let's just agree on that. We're going to have you on for one game every year before a game. We'll get you, you know, 7 a.m. All right, good. We got you locked in. So tell me about today, by the way. So what's like today of game week? What's ahead for you guys, and what are you looking at as you look at Tennessee? You got a lot of players who are familiar now who have seen this tempo up close. But tell me a little bit about this day and what you guys are looking at for preparation.
Yeah, today's a normal, you know, Wednesday, our game week. You know, Monday's a day off for our players. It's an academic day, and Tuesday, you know, we practice, and then today's, you know, practice number two. We'll go out in pads today and work on our second hard day of preparation for Tennessee and what they do, and get a lift in and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big prep day, and then tomorrow's our last day of physical preparation. Still a lot of mental preparation and meetings and walkthroughs and all, but today's a big day. You know, we did a lot of things yesterday, whatever we're doing new, and today's kind of a cleanup day, and tomorrow's what we call Perfect Thursday. So that's kind of what we got going on.
So you talked, Pat, the other day at your press conference about maybe having too much stuff in the opener, which I know, I mean, that's a common thing, right? Like, especially if you don't know exactly what you're going to see, you don't have film from that season on the opponent, and maybe wanting to simplify things. But how does that translate to this week and playing against this offense?
Well, like you said earlier, you know, we kind of know Tennessee a little bit. They know us a little bit. So we all kind of know what we like to do. It's going to come down to, you know, can we cover Hyatt at Tillman? Can we get pressure on Hooker? You know, all those things. It's going to be matchups, I think. You know, we still have some tweaks. They'll do some things new. Every year they do come out and do something new. You know, in their 11 personnel and even in their 12 personnel when they get out there. But it's going to come down to tempo. You know, I think, you know, the tempo of the game offensively, I mean, I think they do a tremendous job. I think Heupel does a great job offensively. He's done a heck of a job turning that program around and making it very, very respectable.
Pat Narduzzi, head coach.
You know, it's a challenge.
Pat Narduzzi, head coach at Pittsburgh, on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Pat, I'm just curious, what have you seen thus far throughout fall camp and certainly in the first game as well from Slovis at the quarterback position?
Yeah, we're happy with where he is, really happy. He's done a nice job. He's accurate like we thought. He's calm under pressure. We've got to get everybody on the same page. I think we had a couple issues just in the opener of guys, making sure the routes are at the right depth and all those things and being on time. So those are some things that I think hopefully can get cleaned up week one to week two, and we can even look a little sharper.
How has the offense changed, Pat, going from Whipple to Cignetti?
It's obviously a big change. I mean, gone to a little bit more run and more 12 personnel and bigger guys on the field and trying to, get our power game going. I thought West Virginia did a good job against it last week. I don't think we played great up front, but, we're going to find out this week what we've got physically. It's a change for what Tennessee's got to work with. So that's something that that we like.
Pat, we've talked about this on our show this week. You guys were the ACC champs last year. You won the game in Knoxville last year. And I'm looking at the line, and Tennessee's almost a touchdown favorite. Do you pay attention to stuff like that? Is that something that you ignore? How do you kind of approach being the underdog at home heading into this game?
Yeah, not really looking at it. I mean, all those rankings and ratings and all that stuff, I mean, we're the underdog every week. I go into every week thinking we're the underdog, we don't have a chance, and I want our kids to play with the chip every week. So we're underdogs every darn week, I can guarantee you that.
I mean, you use it some, though, right? Like you're going to put it up somewhere or talk about it sometime with your team, right?
Like I said, we're the underdog every week, so every week I'll say something about, something like that. I don't care for the, even if we're the favorite in the game, I mean, we're the underdog. So that's an every week deal.
So, Pat, your defense, Kalijah Kansey in particular, guy, I'm a big fan of his game, but you've got a lot of experience returning. Just that group overall, what do you think is the ceiling for that group? And Baldonado, too, a heck of a player up front.
Yeah, and John Morgan had a heck of an offseason and really played well last weekend. And he was a really, really bright spot. We'll see. I mean, you find out when you get into these games like Tennessee. Game number two, how much improvement do we make? We got to clean up fundamentals and little technique things that are the difference between winning and losing, especially in a top 25 matchup game like this one is. So, I think we can be solid on defense. He was disappointed with our run game last week as far as defending it. We've got to get a lot better and eliminate the explosives.
Pat Narduzzi on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Pat, everybody talks about the tempo with Tennessee, but just as far as quarterback play is concerned, how much of a challenge is a guy like Hendon Hooker, both in the passing game, but also the threat that he can be in the running game as well?
Oh, he's a threat now. He's outstanding. I think they've done a great job developing him from where he was, because we've seen him for many years now. We've defended, Coach Heupel for, this is going on year number four, 2 years at Central Florida, and now, going in our second year at Tennessee. He's done a great job developing him. Seems so calm and confident back there, whether it's throwing the football or just taking off on a quarterback draw. We worked our tails off on quarterback draw. That was probably their biggest run against us last year. So we've got to defend him running the ball, especially on those designated quarterback draws is where we struggled most last year.
Yeah, and of course, in that game, Joe Milton is their starter. I mean, I remember talking to you, Pat, about Joe Milton going to that game. And obviously just a tremendous physical talent. I think he threw a pick, but he also, he missed on a couple deep shots against you guys. And then of course he gets hurt. Hooker comes in and that kind of changed their quarterback, room for the rest of the year. Hooker has kept that job. Is there any difference in just,
I never got a thank you note from Heupel about that either. I mean, I didn't realize we had that much. I mean, you think you at least get a thank you.
Yeah. maybe Saturday, but in terms of preparing, because you're preparing for the scheme, you're preparing for the tempo, different things they do, but like just that position, is it different for you looking at Hooker as opposed to a year ago looking at Milton?
No, not really. I mean, those two guys are very similar football players. They're both great athletes. They both can throw it. Maybe Milton throws it 90 yards instead of 70 yards like Hendon, but I don't know if it really matters.
So, Pat, I did want to ask you some big picture. We've got the agreement now on the expanded playoff. I assume that you like that, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that. What that means for, for a program. I mean, look at both of these programs right now. in this game. You know, I would think you could probably go back in time and see if you projected a 12-team field, you'd be in there in some years, and there's more opportunity now. What does it mean to you for college football?
Yeah, I think it's awesome for, you know, for the opportunity that's going to give, you know, 12 programs to be able to be in that conversation. You know, you get in the playoffs, it's going to instantly give yourself that recruiting advantage, I think, over some other people maybe in your conference or in the country. So everybody likes to be in that conversation. Everybody wants to be in the big show, the playoffs, the tournament, whatever it may be. So, you know, instead of being the same four teams or close to the same four teams every year, and the rich just keep getting richer, I think it's a great opportunity. So that you know, I love that. As I've said before, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, I haven't, again, we're in the middle of trying to play a football game when that all came out last week. But I want to make sure that, you know, in the end, you know, I'm excited about it, guaranteed. But make sure, you know, we play, you know, a championship game. But how many games are we playing? What are we putting on these kids? Because keeping them healthy every week, nobody's in that training. Nobody's having that injury check every day. With their trainer, with their staff, just to see how these guys are, you know, who's available this weekend, who's not available. That can be, you know, it can be, you know, taxing on these football players and these kids. And, you know, a lot of them want pro careers. A lot of them will have an opportunity to play at the NFL. We just got to make sure we can get them there as well.
Pat, one guy I wanted to ask you about in this game, I know didn't do a lot in the first game, but I know is a real talent, and I think people are probably going to see him Saturday. Gavin Bartholomew at tight end, getting him back. What does that mean? What do you expect from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, Gavin's a good football player. You know, he didn't get many balls, you know, nor did Tennessee's tight ends last week. But I expect Tennessee's tight ends to get a lot of balls this week, and you know, we'll find out what Gavin does, if he gets open, if he's open, and if we can get him the football. He's a good football player, and we're looking forward to him having a lot of big plays this season.
Pat, last thing for you here. What sort of environment, atmosphere are you expecting for another big game for you guys out of the gate to begin this season coming up Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another great environment. 3:30 ABC. I mean, you got Tennessee coming in, first time an SEC school is coming into Pittsburgh. So I think it's exciting for our fans, and I'm sure Tennessee travels pretty good. So I think it'll be a nice patch of orange up there. I know you're coming up, Joe. So hopefully I'll see you post-game.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
Looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday. Pat, you've been really kind with your time. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, absolutely. Pat Narduzzi, Pittsburgh head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. That was
We didn't get him talking trash.
We didn't get him talking trash, but I think you could read in between the lines a little bit there. He enjoys the underdog role. I don't think there's any question.
Yes. All coaches love it, you know. But you can't be in the underdog every week.
Not every week.
I mean, it's worth a shot, but you know, some weeks Pittsburgh's going to be heavy. They're the defending ACC champions.
They are.
You know?
Although I will say, if I'm him and I'm looking around, I'm saying, "All right, we're defending ACC champions. We won this game on the road last year." And all of a sudden, we're like a touchdown underdog at home heading into this one. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be playing that up all week. And I'm sure he is.
Absolute oxygen. No. Loves it. It's going to be interesting. I mentioned Bartholomew there. He was not part of the, you know, the team last year. Now, they had Lucas Krull, who's a very talented tight end, too. But Bartholomew, watch out for him Saturday. Again, Jared Wayne's a really good receiver. They've got some good backs too. Hammond had a huge game catching and running the ball against West Virginia. Like they, you know, Slovis, like they're going to have offensive success. You tell me this is going to be like a 2017 game. I can't buy that at all. I think both offenses have a pretty significant advantage in this game.
We'll continue to look ahead to Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.